Road of Life, brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Mrs. Loomis didn't.
She didn't.
But now she does use does.
Now she knows that does, D-U-Z, is best.
That does everything.
You see, Mrs. Loomis was from Missouri, and, well, you just had to show her. Every wash day, she'd look at her big stack of clothes and say,
"Oh, I'd like to see anybody show me how to get this wash clean. Look at all those streaky bath towels. Dad's overalls. Does he wipe the machinery on them? Honestly, I must have a dozen rayon slips to bother with again. Oh, my wash is the limit."
And then this lady who didn't became a lady who does. Yes, someone finally showed Mrs. Loomis that does best. This new kind of soap does everything. In towels, does gives you unsurpassed whiteness, for grimy work clothes, unbeaten cleaning power, and for pretty colors, extra safety. Well, now Mrs. Loomis is showing everyone else.
Look at my towels, white as clouds. And did you ever see cleaner overalls? They're a snap with does. So long, hard scrubbing.
Now Mrs. Loomis brags about those rayon slips. She found does takes extra care of colors.
Look how much brighter they are. Say, this does can't be beat. It does everything.
This new kind of soap is best. Actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps proved it. Does outdid them all with the best combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. So be a lady who does best, does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Jim Brent is about to use a new drug, and he's using it only in a last attempt to cure a patient of a neurosis first evidenced on a battle-torn island in the Pacific. Bill Evans, a doctor discharged from the Navy, is lying on a bed in his room on the second floor of Wiley Memorial Hospital. Jim, carrying a needle carefully wrapped in a towel, enters the room.
Good morning, Bill.
Hello.
No, don't get up. I'll sit right here by the bed. Bill, I've never used pentothal sodium before. It's something new. From the reports I've read on it, it's good stuff. But I haven't any idea in the world as to how you'll react under it. I can only tell you that if your reaction is what I hope it'll be, it may do wonders for you.
Well, let's get started.
All right. Here we are. You didn't even feel it, did you? Little jab in the forearm and we're underway.
Aren't you going to take the needle out?
No. It's going to stay in your arm, Bill, and I'm going to continue to give you more and more pentothal till I have you where I think I want you.
Oh.
Oh. How do you feel? Sleepy?
Well, sort of heavy and thick.
Beginning to sound a little thick, too.
Am I?
That's a good reaction, though. Bill, I'm going to ask you some questions and feed you some clues, but you're going to do most of the work.
I don't want to work.
Ah, but you will. And whatever you tell me is going to be the truth. You know that, don't you? That's the way pentothal reacts. Every word of what you say is going to be the truth, Bill, and you're going to recall things that you're sure you've forgotten.
No inhibitions?
No inhibitions.
Still got the needle in my arm, Jim?
Yes. Bill, I'm not sure whether you're aware of it, but you've been pretty rough on Judith lately. You're not tired of her, are you?
No.
There isn't another woman and someone you met out there in the Pacific? A nurse? Red Cross
worker? I didn't go near a girl out there.
You're in love with Judith?
Uh-huh.
Then why have you been treating her this way?
Because I don't want to talk to her.
Do you know why you don't?
Sure. You still got that needle in me?
Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk to Judith because you're ashamed of something, Bill.
What if I am? What if I am?
When would you like to start practicing medicine again, Bill?
Tomorrow.
Why don't you?
Don't be silly. I can't. You know why I can't.
No, I don't.
Because I'm sick.
Do you have any idea of why you're sick, Bill?
No. No, I wish I did.
Would you like to get well?
Yes.
Why don't you?
I can't.
What do your discharge papers read? Honorable or dishonorable?
Honorable.
Why do you say it like that, Bill?
I should have been the other way around.
You're ashamed of that, too, aren't you? What happened out there, Bill? What are you trying to hide?
Hide? I don't want to hide. I've never wanted to hide. I've always wanted to be out in the open. Just the trouble, I stayed in there, and everybody else went outside in the open. I stayed in there.
In where?
In the hut.
What hut?
The little one on the island, Kiwakoha.
I see. What was it like, Bill?
It was small. The roof was low. Very low. It was dirty, but we cleaned it out and used it as a dressing station. I was in charge there. I had 3 Navy medical corpsmen and 6 patients.
Go on.
It was in the middle of the afternoon. I was working as fast as I could. Everything was going along all right. Then the dinner bell started.
The dinner bell?
We didn't have a whistle or a siren, so they used the bell for air raid alarms. I'd been in air raids before, Jim, but I felt different about that one.
Dr. Evans.
Hand me the rest of that sulfur, will you, Emerson?
Yeah, Doc, but that's the air raid signal.
There. That ought to take care of you for a while, sailor. All right, quiet, you men. Quiet. I want all you casualties who can walk to get out of this hut and get into the brush on the other side of the clearing. There's some foxholes dug there. You stay in them till this is all over.
A couple of them can't walk, Doc.
All right, Emerson, you and your 2 partners carry them out.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Emerson.
Yes, sir.
This man I've been working on and the patient next to him aren't in good enough condition to be moved. Leave him here.
Leave him, sir?
You heard what I said?
Yes, sir.
I'll stay here with him. Now, come on, start getting these men out. O'Hara, lend a hand here. Are you walking wounded? Start walking.
You'll be okay, sailor.
Does it hurt very badly?
Yeah. Sort of, Doc.
Well, I'll fix that up for you in a minute. Emerson, thought I told you to clear out. What are you doing back here?
You're sure you want to stay in here, Doc? You're sure you can't move these 2 out? You know, them Tojos don't pay no attention to that flag we got up on the roof.
A Red Cross is a Red Cross. Now get out and see if the other casualties remain quiet in the holes.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing, Emerson?
Just closing the door, sir.
Oh, well, I like it open. There's no point in being cooped up here, is there?
Well, there might be a couple of hunks of shrapnel flying around, Doc, and, well, any sort of protection is better than nothing, ain't it? You wouldn't want these 2 guys to get chewed up any more than they are, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Good luck, Doc. See you later.
Okay, sailor, I'll give you something that'll fix up my pain in a second.
Would you, Doc?
You'll be all right in a minute. You won't even feel it.
They're here already, aren't they, Doc?
Yeah. You just forget about them, though.
They ain't forgetting about us.
How'd you like a cigarette? Yeah, I'll light it for you and start working the other fella.
You better get out of here, Doc.
Don't you want your cigarette?
For the love of Pete, will you get out of here?
Let me see. What did I do with the matches? You know, one of the men found a whole carton of Japanese matches the other day. Well, Emerson was right after all. They didn't pay much attention to the Red Cross on the roof. Wonder if it's still there.
Doc, I gotta say something.
Oh, your leg still hurt?
That ain't it.
Oh?
You got more stuff than I've ever seen.
Go on, Bill. Keep talking. What else?
That night I went haywire. They tried to pull me out of it, but nothing would help.
You shouldn't mind being afraid of machine gun bullets. A lot of people are.
It wasn't the bullets. It was being boxed in. I haven't told that to a soul. Not even to Judith. Seems so stupid, so shameful that a grown man should be afraid of being closed in for a few minutes.
points.
Have you ever given any thought to why you're afraid?
What?
Have you ever thought... Bill, why are you so afraid of being closed in?
Because the air gets so hot after a while. It's heavy. You can't breathe.
Well, how do you know? It wasn't that way in the shack, was it?
No.
Then why were you afraid you wouldn't be able to breathe? How did you know the air would get hot and heavy after a while?
I knew.
How did you know?
Well, it happened to me once. That's right. It happened to me at home once.
At home?
That's right. In the house on Damon Avenue. Only it wasn't Damon Avenue then. It was Roby Street. We lived in a big house on the corner of Sunnyside and Roby. It was painted white. Had a big lawn in front.
Get back on the track, Bill. When were you closed up there?
Well, Junior Reed and I were playing. He locked me in the upstairs closet. The one on the third floor. I hollered, pounded. Nobody came for me. The air got hot and I couldn't breathe. And I wanted to and... Oh, Jim, it was horrible. It was terrible. I never want to go through it again. It was hideous.
Yeah, you hadn't thought about that until now, had you, Bill?
No, I hadn't.
Seems sort of silly, doesn't it, to spend all your life worrying about something that happened when you were a kid?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way.
You know now that if you were locked up in that same closet, you're an adult. You could break the door down. There'd be nothing to worry over, would there?
No, I...
Bill, you're getting pretty sleepy now. I'm going to let you drop off.
Yeah. How did it work out?
I don't know, Bill. I'll be able to tell, and so will you, when you wake up.
And while Jim's patient drifts into that limbo between illness and health, between a helpless, dependent existence and a useful life, sinister forces are gathering in another part of the hospital, forces which are subtly combining against Jim. Two doctors are talking to each other. The patient he has just finished treating is completely out of this picture. It's Jim. Jim and his future, which is under discussion. Be sure to listen when DUZ Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. Help fight the battle against waste. When you do dishes, don't waste soap. It contains materials needed on the battlefronts. The following message comes to you at the request of the Office of War Information. Uncle Sam needs 10,000 registered nurses for the Army Nurse Corps to take care of wounded servicemen returning to this country from overseas. All registered nurses may now apply to the War Manpower Commission for reclassification for military service. On acceptance, nurses become officers with the rank of second lieutenant. There are opportunities for promotion according to competence and ability. Minimum pay is $150 a month plus subsistence, an equivalent of $226 per month. In addition, Army nurses are given an initial allowance of $250 for uniforms and accessories. As members of the armed forces, the Army Nurse Corps gets reduced rates on amusements, travel, and the like, and are eligible for such veterans' benefits as special loans and mustering out pay. For information on joining the Army Nurse Corps, send a wire, collect, to the Surgeon General, United States Army, Washington, D.C., or call at your local Red Cross chapter. The War Department also asks the public in general to cut down on all unnecessary civilian nursing service.